All right, welcome everyone to tonight's call. Let's things going here and talk about. There it is. The voice is in your head. So, again, we talked about this in different ways, but I want to make a whole lesson just based around this because at the end of the day, we all got voices in our head and our ability to influence them is a huge part of the change process. You know, the process of transformation here. So let's kind of hop right into it. So, a few quick notes, right? First off, we all talk to ourselves, right? It doesn't make you crazy that you hear voices. I guess it depends on the voices that you hear, technically. But to a certain degree, we all talk to ourselves. We all hear voices of people that we know and we've known throughout life, in reality, and, through TV and movies. We literally think in people's voices sometimes. And so, the thing is, it affects us. And so, again, we want to become aware of this and gain some mastery over this. There's an idea that we're all multiple personalities. I'm a big fan of this concept. Richard Bandler said this. He's the creator of NLP. And he used to say that, we're all on our way to being multiple personalities. It's an evolutionary step towards that. And I think what he means is that, let's face it, right? We all got our moods that we get into. And depending on what mood we're in, it's almost like we're different personalities, right? There's kind of the motivated part of us, the lazy part of us, all these different kind of personas that we have. And so a big way to influence that is, again, what are we doing, in our heads? How are we talking to ourselves? Which voices are we listening to? Which voices are we unable not to listen to? And we'll get into that. We're all our own best or worst hypnotists. And I think this is a great, great way to think about things. Basically, what's a hypnotist, right? A hypnotist basically is someone who can influence you on an unconscious level, which is just another way to say they really influence how you feel. And so, the classic example, I remember watching this where I was watching a stage hypnotist and he was doing the old, hey, it's getting freezing in here routine with the people that were hypnotized. And then, hey, it's getting hot in here. And you would watch the people and, as it got colder and colder, they would start shivering. And as it got hot, they'd start sweating and getting real warm. And so, again, how hypnosis works is you're bypassing the critical faculty, right? So, again, in a normal state of mind, you would say to a person, hey, guess what? It's getting cold in here. And the thermostat got stuck to freezing and it's freezing. And, in a normal state, someone say no, because their conscious mind is saying no, that's not true. It's disqualifying those statements. But in a hypnotic state, you're more apt to listen to the suggestion, right? And so instead of logically saying, hey, wait a second, the thermostat's fine. And then, all of a sudden you go from cold to hot. That doesn't make any sense. It can't go from cold to hot. When you're hypnotized, when you're in a trance state, you're not asking those questions. You're just accepting those statements as if they were real and then responding to as such. And so when I say we're all our own best or worst hypnotists, what I mean is that we're always up in our head talking to ourselves. And that talk is so incessant and never ending that it is very much like a hypnotist in the sense that it bypasses our critical faculty. Our internal dialogue is so constant that we just respond to it a lot of times without questioning it, almost as if we were in a trance. And so this is going to go on forever. There's no stopping that. Okay. You can't stop your internal dialogue throughout the day. And maybe you wouldn't even want to. But so the next step is to learn to cultivate a more successful hypnotist, a more positive hypnotist, a hypnotist, a voice in your head that will bring you closer to your goals and help you succeed, as opposed to an internal hypnotist that is constantly creating problems in your life. And again, we'll talk about this more in a moment. But I love thinking in this frame of that we're literally all our own best or worst hypnotists because you're always up in your head talking to yourself. And so that's kind of a cool way to think about it. Now, the first step about this is always awareness, right? When we're talking about, again, the internal dialogue you have, how you're speaking to yourself all the time, it's a very unconscious process, which means a lot of times you're not even aware of it. All right. So again, we'll talk about how to become more aware of it in a few moments, but becoming aware of it is always a successful, it should be celebrated. And I want you to make that distinction. This is so important because a lot of times we make this crazy assumption. I see this all the time. I do it. My clients do it, where it's like, as soon as you become aware of something and you realize some crazy thought you had or some weird, you know, kind of limiting belief you had or some weird strategy you had that doesn't work. And all of a sudden you become aware of it and you say, oh my God. And it feels like this epiphany. Oh my, I'm going to realize this forever. But awareness is just the first step. You know what I mean? Like the first step's awareness, and then we got to change it. All right. And that's the natural progression of it. Okay. But a lot of times we tend to think, oh, as soon as I become aware of it, that's it. That's it. It's changed. And sometimes that's the case, but very rarely. Even very big epiphany type realizations you can have. I see this in myself and my clients all the time. You have this huge realization, and the next week you totally forgot about it. And so that just seems to be the norm. So again, through this process of change, specifically when we're going to talk about the internal dialogue tonight, but just in general, when it comes to change in your life, the first step is awareness. Because again, real change is unconscious. And the thing about the unconscious mind is that we're unaware of it. And so anytime you gain awareness, I want you to kind of pat yourself on the back, feel good about it, but recognize that's just kind of the first stage. And then we get moving and changing it. The negative voices are hardwired to be more powerful. Okay. So you've heard me mention before that our brains have a negativity bias. Okay. And the reason for this is because, survival wise, that had more benefit to it. There was more value to remembering the negative things than it was being positive. And so I read a great example of how this works. And, you know, again, if you're out in the jungle and you hear some noise behind you, right? You have one of two ways to go with it. You could either say, oh my God, it's a hungry tiger, you know, getting ready to eat me. I better run. Or you could say, oh, it's probably just a little bird. Ah, who cares? You know, it's probably just nothing. Right. And so you could go at it negatively or positively. And so from an evolutionary standpoint, there's a lot more survival value to being negative. And so our brains are just wired that way. And what that means is the jerks in your life, you know what I mean? Like that you've grown up around, the people that weren't supportive, the people that were rude, said mean things. We tend to hold on to those voices more than the positive, supportive voices that we've had in our lives. It's just kind of the way it is. Now, we recognize that awareness is the first step. Okay, I have a negativity bias. We all do. Even if you're the most positive person on the planet, we all have a negativity bias. We're wired that way. However, you can acknowledge that, realize it, and you can work to cultivate a more positive, supportive voice. And simultaneously, you can also work to quiet down and limit the negative voices. Okay. So we want to recognize that. Not everything your mind comes up with is true or real. So this is very, very important, right? So sometimes we have a tendency, and this is the hypnosis part of it, by the way, because again, that constant incessant voice in your head, it bypasses the critical faculty. You don't question it a lot. And so a lot of times what it says is just accepted. Okay. But it's important to start questioning that voice. Because as I said, you know, you could have a voice from the jerkiest teacher you ever had in third grade, and you think in that person's voice now, you know, 50 years later. And, you know, and that voice can be saying rude things or things that just aren't true. Okay. So it's really, really key that we start to not just accept everything that our mind says. Sometimes it's right, but a lot of times it's not. Okay. And so, I'll give you an example, right? And so this is a hypnosis trick. When you have someone in a deep trance and you can say to them, okay, now your arm is so relaxed. It's so relaxed that it won't move, right? No matter how hard you try, you can try as hard as you want. Your arm will not move. And, it's going to stay there, stuck to the table. It's stuck there. You can't move it no matter how hard you try. And the person struggles and they can't move it. But that's when they're in a deep hypnotic state, when they're accepting that suggestion. You could test yourself right now. I mean, you could clasp both your hands together and you can tell yourself, I can't undo my hands. I can't undo my hands. And then just undo them. You see? So just because your mind says something does not mean you have to believe it. And that can be a very, very powerful realization. Okay. So that you're not at the mercy of these, of the voices and the thoughts in your head. Because sometimes what they're saying is just bullshit. It's just not true. Okay. So keep that in mind and remember that. So speaking of that, right, when they're not true, is let's talk about unresourceful voices. Okay. Because this can be a real problem. right? If you do have a strong negative voice in your head, it needs to be addressed, because if it's not, creating change is very difficult, without question. So one of the key distinctions here is when you have an unresourceful voice, a lot of times it is problem oriented. Okay. And so again, it may be saying things to you that are kind of mean. It may be saying them in a way, in a tone that is kind of cringy to you. It bothers you. But ultimately the worst part about it is that it's problem oriented. And so it's got you focused on the problem as if there were no solution involved. And so it becomes something like this. Oh, you know, Mary, you tried, but you're never going to get this. You can't control your reading. You know, you can't stick to anything. You know, you got no willpower. You've always struggled with sweets. You just love carbs too much. You know, it's not your fault. It's just too hard. You just cannot do it. Right. So stuff like that, where it's all just reinforcing whatever problems or challenges that you're experiencing. And when things are problem oriented, I always kind of use this metaphor that it's like a solar system and everything revolves around the problem. And logically, way back in the mind, you know there are solutions, but all of your energy goes into the problem and all the thoughts and ideas that orbit around that problem. And so it can sometimes masquerade as solutions, you know, in the sense of like, you know, Mary, why can you never get yourself to stick with a plan? Okay, so I asked that question, why can you never stick to a plan? Right, but it's based on the problem. I've followed a plan and then I couldn't do it, and that's happened a number of times. So the evidence is there. I haven't been able to stick to a plan. The problem-oriented thinking is, how come you don't stick to a plan? And again, sometimes that's okay to kind of, you know, take an honest look at ourselves and say, okay, where's going on there, and then flip over to the solution. But when it's a problem, is, oh, okay, I can't stick to a plan because this happened to me, and then I did this, and then, you know, when I was in third grade, someone laughed at me, and then my grandmother used to always bake me cookies. And so what happens is we know what the problem is, and we say, why do I have this problem? And then you just start generating all of these ideas that you think are the reason why you have the problem. And everything, again, as I was saying, it's kind of that solar system metaphor. Everything revolves around the problem, as opposed to saying, how can I get myself to stick to a plan, right? Instantly change, because now it's focused on a solution. So the problem-oriented is really always one of the main key things we want to begin to recognize and change when we're talking about internal dialogue, because a lot of times we get focused on the problem. So remember this, because this is a foundational shift that you can make at any moment in time in your thinking, is to go from problem-oriented to solution-oriented, okay? So the unresourceful voices, again, a lot of times these voices will gain power when we ignore or we back down from them. So it's almost like, and I'm telling you this, a lot of times the unresourceful voices that limit us, I'm telling you, they're jerks we've had in life, abusive people we've known in life. Sometimes they're kind of crappy characters out of a movie or a show that we've kind of internalized for some reason. But more often than not, it's from someone that we spent a lot of time around that was a jerk to us, or again, just was mean to us, abused us, wasn't good. Okay. And so to put it another way, it's almost like they're like a bully, or they're our abuser in a sense. And so just like in reality, you can't ignore them. You can't really win with a bully by ignoring them sometimes if they keep at you. You can't back down. You know, you've got to stand up to them, right? I mean, this story is old as time, that sometimes you got to face your fears. And so the good news here is that it's not an actual bully. You're not going to get hurt. Okay. It's a voice in your head that you've internalized and you've created to a certain degree, this persona. And so I hope this is ringing some bells, because a lot of times this goes on. And by the way, it could also be a person who you're really close to and that you love, but sometimes people can be really nice sometimes, and then they can say very mean, cutting things in other situations. Okay. And so again, this isn't about hating the person. It's about hating that voice in your head and how it makes you feel and what it does to you. Okay. And so again, we want to just, for this week here, you know, especially, I want you to really tune in to how you're thinking And again, we'll talk about how to do that in a way in a moment. But start becoming aware of how you talk to yourself, the voices you have in your head. You can think about different people in your life that have been really important, and people that have been important in your life in a bad way. Again, bullies, abusers, jerks. And you could think, do I ever think about them? Do I ever think in their voice? What did they say to me? Do I use those phrases or that tone with myself now? Okay, again, the awareness can be very powerful. We'll talk about how to change them in a moment. Again, another thing they do, and they whisper it, that's again why this is an important lesson, is that these voices in our head are very hypnotic in the sense because, again, we're not aware of them a lot of times. So we can't reject them out of turn. We can't say, well, you can't lose weight because you always quit diets. You've always quit your diets, right? So you'll never succeed, okay? And so maybe that becomes a belief you have. Or maybe say, I was abused when I was younger, so I can't control my eating, okay? And so we don't question it. We just accept it. And so that's one of the things I'm trying to tell you here is that first we become aware of the voice and what it's saying and how it's talking to us, and then we start standing up to it. And we stand up to it by asking it questions. What's it saying? Now, again, this is a tricky thing because sometimes that voice feels like it's us. And so we start to accept those limiting beliefs and that tone of voice and that person as us, and it's not. And so I want you to get some distance between yourself and this voice that you haven't had or these voices, because a lot of times what they're doing is they're selling you limiting beliefs, limiting ideas of what's possible, who you are as a person, and what you're capable of achieving. Okay. And so the way around limiting beliefs is to question them. Is that true? Is it true that because I was abused when I was young, I can't control my eating now? I want you to bring your logical mind into this. Okay. Question that. Okay. Because the more limiting beliefs you can identify and destroy, the easier this process becomes, right? The more fun it is. So here's a couple of unresourceful voice kind of archetypes, right? So the first one is what I call the Eeyore one, right? So you remember from Winnie the Pooh, right? Eeyore was the sad donkey, right? And so that's one type of voice. And again, do you have this voice in your head? Is it a, is it that sad aunt you had, you know, is it that, that really depressed coworker that you worked with for 20 years, right? Did you internalize some of their thinking and their voice even? And so again, it's a kind of, well, what's the use? What's the point? This is never going to work anyways. We're never going to get it. We're never going to be able to do this, right? Is it got that attitude to it? And there's a certain tone to it. Let me talk a little bit about tone. I'm not sure if I'm going to talk about this in a moment with a specific slide. When we talk about the internal voices, again, there's two parts to it. There's the content of what it's saying, okay, literally the words that you're using, the ideas and concepts that it's expressing to you. And the other side of it, though, that's almost just as powerful is the tone. And so, like if you think of if you think of someone you love or someone you hate, the way that they say certain things can elicit a response in you. And so that's why I say when we internalize a voice, you know what I mean? Like it's got certain qualities to it. So the Eeyore voice, I don't know if you remember what he talked like. It was the, oh, what's the use? We're never going to be able to figure this out anyway. Right? So it's got that quality to it. So there's kind of two ways to change the voice. And I would suggest using both of them. But there's two ways. And so the first one is you can literally just change the tone, right? So we talk about tone, we're talking about volume, speed, the emphasis on certain words. So I could do the Eeyore voice and I could change it up. I say I got an Eeyore voice, and I want to switch it up. I can say, hey, what's the use? You know what I mean? We're never going to get it anyways. So again, it's got a different feeling to it. Okay. So the tone has a feeling to it. And then obviously we also want to change the content. And so what's the use? You know, what's the use could literally, you could say the same words, but just change it. And what I mean by that is that you could say, what's the use to figuring out how to eat so that you can live at your goal weight for the rest of your life, right? So it's the same beginning, but we've actually added enough to the end where it changes what question you're answering, right? And it fills in a lot of space there. We're never going to get it if we keep focusing on the problems. You see what I mean? So again, that's changing the content. And again, I would suggest changing both of them. The next one is the bully, right? So sometimes we internalize this voice And again, you may have known a bully type character in your life. You may have just internalized this, right? And this is the one where the voice says, you're never going to do this, right? And you hear my tone this way, right? You can't do this. You're too stupid. You're too fat. You're never going to. And this is the one, I would say this is probably the one that's most common with people that are struggling with their weight. And I think my experience is that people are meaner to themselves than they would ever be to anyone in reality. And again, it's because no one can hear out loud what you're saying to yourself. And so I know that deep down, you, if you have a bully voice, and this is an issue, you have it deep down because you think it's going to help motivate you. But it doesn't. It beats you down and it makes you feel bad. Okay. And so, again, you got to stand up to this voice. And one of the ways to do it is realize you're the boss. You don't have to listen to this person's, this bully voice. You're in charge. Okay. And so you hear my voice. I'm talking very certain. And that's how you stand up to a bully. Right? You stand up to it. You say, I can do this. I can do it. I'm going to do it. I'm committed to it. And I'm going to figure it out. I don't care how long it takes me. Care. Do you see what I'm saying? So again, you're bringing this energy to it, you know? And so you want to be aware of this bully voice, because like I said, man, this one just insidious, you know, every time you want to do something. And again, you know, the bully really gets into it is when you have to make a decision. And, so you're in that moment, you know what I mean? Should I choose the cupcake or the salad, right? It's at that moment. That's when it's like the bully comes in. Who cares? Just take the cupcake. You're never going to be able to stick with this anyways. But it's a little bit of both of them, right? The aura and the bully. And by the way, the voices can mix up a little bit. So again, I want you to pay attention to the tone, the content of what you're saying to yourself on a regular basis, because it's influencing you in a very, very dramatic way. And then finally is scared, right? So this is the flip side of the coin of the bully, right? So you got the bully voice. It's very just mean and saying nasty things to us all the time. And then you have the other part of it that's responding to that. It's like, you're right. Oh God, this is so hard. I'm never gonna be able to do this. Oh, I'm so busy. And oh Jesus, you know what I mean? It's got that energy to it. So notice it's my tone and what I'm saying. And when I talk like that, it probably puts you in a little bit of a state. Doing it as I'm doing it right now, I go into these states. So that's why this is so important, by the way. Right? Because you understand how important what state you're in is. And so if you're consistently thinking in an Eeyore bully scared trio of voices, you're going to consistently feel dejected, discouraged, scared, aggressive, don't care, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's going to keep you in that state a lot of the time. And so the way you speak to yourself is a huge way to change the states that you're in. All right. So again, pay attention to these. And there may be some other voices as well, other types of voices, but these are the big three that I see. Okay. And so I want to identify them so you can become aware of them. And then, you know, hopefully you'll be able to create some solutions to them. So let's shift over to some resourceful voices. Now, again, the first thing that makes a resourceful voice is it's solution oriented, right? Real simple. Whatever you're thinking, no matter how big the problem is, no matter how prevalent it's been in your life, how long it's been there, you can always flip it into a solution in an instant. Oh my God, I'm so addicted to sugar. I can't stop eating sugar. Every time I try and stop, I eat more of it. Oh God. That can be instantly be turned into, okay, how can I have more control over sugar? It's been a struggle in the past. I've tried lots of things and those haven't worked. What else can I do to get some control over this? What can I do to succeed? How can I make it enjoyable? Okay, where are the biggest challenges? What can I do to overcome them? How can I do it? So you hear my language? Again, I understand that this may take a little bit of time, but if you get solution-oriented, I'm telling you, that is the magic key. I really think more than almost anything else, if you can get yourself solution-oriented, it might be the biggest difference of all. Okay, now again, I want to be clear, to be solution oriented all the time is a challenge. And again, you're working up to that. But you don't need to be solution oriented all the time to succeed. Okay. What you want to recognize, and this is where the awareness comes in, when you start feeling like crap, whatever flavor of crap you feel like, discouraged, angry, frustrated, pissed off, whatever it may be, depressed, whatever crappy state you get in, I promise you, you're being problem oriented. You're just surrounded by problems. And again, you're right in the center of it. And you just feel like you're everywhere you look, there's just more problems and reasons why you have it and reasons why you're going to have it forever. And it gets you in a state that is very unresourceful. And so at any moment in time when you feel bad, I promise you, if you can flip it into solution-oriented thinking, it's a lifeline. It's that light at the end of the tunnel, you know, that instantly can shift how you think. And it works every time. Again, these voices get stronger with the more attention we give them. Okay. So again, as I said, you have a natural bias to be negative, to have those negative voices in your head. They've got stronger wiring. They got more bandwidth. So what you need to do is you need to reinforce the resourceful voices, almost as if you go and work out at a gym to build up muscle. It's the same thing with, the more resourceful voices. And so how do you strengthen it? You know, listening to motivating people, right? That can be really helpful. Tony Robbins, right? I mean, that dude, you just, every time you listen to him, he's so fired up. That's a great voice to have access to in your head, that type of voice. And again, if he's not your cup of tea, then you know what I mean? Whatever person motivates you, you can start thinking in their voice. And so again, there was a client of mine one time, he wanted to create a voice that was supportive. And so when he was growing up, Jimmy Stewart, you know what I mean, was kind of that character in a lot of movies. And so he kind of installed a voice, a Jimmy Stewart type voice in his head. You know, this is what you can do. And so he would develop that voice so that when things got down, he could rely on that. Okay. So, and you can do the same thing. Whether it's someone real in your life that you know, that's always a little bit better. But even if it's just a character from a show or a movie, you can do that as well. Now, like I said, they may always be secondary voices. All right. So I want to make that clear. Sometimes people kind of set themselves up for failure because they assume that the negative voices will just completely go away. They will not. They will always be there, but they don't. What you're looking to do is to balance them out more. You're never going to completely eliminate the negative voices. Okay. So don't even try. Don't even expect that. What you're looking to do is to get more balanced. Okay. So that, yeah, you may have a negative voice, but you also have a positive voice that can bounce it off, right? Kind of like, it's almost like you want to imagine that there's a constant debate going on in your mind. The negative voice is going to talk, but you want to be able to also hear from the resourceful voice. That's what we're looking for. And that is a game changer, by the way. If you can balance that out, it's a game changer. It changes everything. So again, you don't need to have 100% resourceful voices and 0% negative voices to succeed. Not at all. So let's talk about a couple different types of resourceful voices. The first one's kind of the hero, right? And so again, this is, you know, Bruce Willis from Die Hard. I mean, whatever, you know, your version of an action hero is, an action star is, that's what we're talking about. And again, it's not just what they say, right? It's the tone, the way they say it. So again, I want you to understand that. So we want to develop this voice. And again, it's very personal. Who do you think of as a hero? Right. For me, I love Keanu Reeves, Neo in The Matrix, right? That's my ultimate hero. I love it. And again, he wasn't a rah-rah dude. He just had kind of this inner sense of certainty, you know, and I like that. So again, that resonates with me. Find some hero that resonates with you. Again, whether they're a real person or, you know, a character out of a movie, book, or TV show. But again, what does the hero say? We can do this. We got this. You know, let's do it. Let's figure it out. Yeah, it's hard, but so what? Come on. You know what I mean? Kind of that attitude and, you know, that voice in your head makes a big difference. The analyst, right? So I like this one too, because again, this isn't as fiery. This isn't as emotional. So this is a great, great voice to have. The analyst is a great voice when you're kind of wiped out. And I would say this is the voice that's helped me the most. Okay. Because there was a lot of time when I wasn't doing the right thing that I relied on the analyst voice. Okay. So I didn't eat the way I wanted to that day. I didn't drink my water. I didn't stretch. I didn't do the things I wanted to do because I was either wiped out or I was distracted with other stuff going on in life or whatever. But I would still be in my head thinking, how could I do it better? If I could go back in time, what would I have done differently? How can I make it easier? How can I get myself to do it tomorrow? If I had done these things today, how would I feel now? If I did these things for the next 6 months, how would I feel then? What effects would I have? You hear what I'm saying? So again, you're always thinking in your head. I literally, the analyst is going when I'm eating ice cream, when I'm eating cake, when I'm eating my 10th slice of pizza. Even when I'm screwing up, the analyst is there, not judging, not berating me, just seeing, okay, I'll tell you, I've done this. Croissants are maybe my most recent battle. And so I go to this coffee shop to read, and they got fresh baked croissants from this baker. They're so good. And so sometimes I get them, sometimes I don't. When I get them, the analyst, okay, is this that good? Is it as good as you thought it was? I finish it. How do you feel now? Do you feel as good as if you hadn't gotten it? And a lot of times the answer is no. A lot of times I'm eating it. It's okay. It's not as good as I thought it would be. And I finish it. Ah, I feel kind of full now. I feel a little bit lethargic. I kind of wish I didn't get it. I'm asking myself these questions. And over time, it makes an enormous difference. And I think part of it's because I come up with more solutions. But I think another part of it is also that I don't get locked into the negative stuff. I don't get locked into the negative states, you know, for as long. I don't go into a dip in a hole. So again, the analyst, I'm a big fan of as well, because it doesn't take a lot of energy. It's just very, just kind of thinking of the situations, not being judgmental. Okay. And then finally is the rebel. Now this is interesting, because a lot of times the rebel becomes unresourceful. the rebel is, I should have put that there too. So the rebel sometimes becomes, I don't want to diet. I don't want to eat this. Screw this. It's not worth it. Forget it. I'm going to eat the cake. I'm going to eat that. And so sometimes we get that voice, and that is a direct result a lot of times from dieting, because dieting is so strict that we create a shadow side rebel part of us that ultimately sabotages everything. So I should have added that in the unresourceful voices too. However, we can also use the rebel to help us out here. Okay. And so if you do have that rebellious part, the difference between the rebel being listed and the resourceful or the unresourceful is purely whether it's being problem oriented or solution oriented. All right. So the rebel and the problem oriented one is like, oh man, forget this. I can't eat cake. Oh, this is too hard. I don't want to do this anymore. Watch me. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Who cares anyways? Right. And so it's all wrapped up in the problems. And that's what it's saying to you. The rebel and the resourceful solution oriented mindset goes, I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to figure this out so that it works for me. I don't care what other people say. I don't care what works for other people, what they think I should do. I'm going to figure out a plan that works for me, customized specifically to my lifestyle and who I am as a person. That's what I'm going to do. So again, I put this out that these are kind of archetypes, but hopefully these will help you recognize what voices you have running around in your head. And so again, remember, sometimes the first step is becoming aware of them, and then we work to change them. Okay. It goes in that pattern. And just because we become aware of them and we try and change them doesn't mean they just change. They've been there for a long time. So the process is this: we become aware of them, we work to change them, we forget about it. We become aware of them, we work to change them some more, we forget about it. And it's basically that process over and over and over again. Okay. But if you accept that that's what it is and just plan long-term success, you will change them. Okay. So, and it makes a huge, huge difference. So let's talk a couple ways about influencing the voices. As I've said 100 times now, the first step is awareness. And I think the easiest way to recognize this is really focusing in on your moods. I think it's a challenge. It's harder to be able to say, okay, what am I thinking in my head right now? Because there's lots of thoughts in your head. It's kind of like trying to find a light switch in a dark room, right? It's like you kind of got an idea that around the edge of the walls, but you're not sure where it is. And so it's just hard to catch thoughts sometimes. So what's easier to check is what moods we're in. And so when you find yourself in an unresourceful mood, you know, and sometimes when you find yourself in a good mood, you can ask yourself, what am I thinking about? What voice is in my head? Right. And you just start to gain some awareness on this. Right. Again, like I said, a lot of times the negative voices are going to be people that you knew in life that were critical of you. And again, as I said, they're not bad people. But again, parents, for example, right? They're the disciplinarian. And so maybe it's them when they were disciplining you. Maybe, again, it was someone who said mean things to you. And now you've internalized it, and that's what you're doing to yourself. Stop. You don't need to do that to yourself. And again, it's not just stopping it. It's creating the equal, positive, resourceful voice. So check your moods. And when you find yourself in a bad mood, again, think about, what am I thinking about? What am I focusing on? What's the last thought I had? And I can almost guarantee it'd be problem-oriented, and I'll almost guarantee you that it's a problem-oriented thought that was delivered to you with a biting negative voice, right? And so the more awareness you get of that, the better. Now, next is, again, we want to check our body, right? So the way we're using our body is going to encourage certain voices. So, you know, if you get the body of depression, right? So you just, everything goes slack, shoulders slunched, head down, breathing shallow, right? Let all the energy just drain right out of your body. Well, what voice does that encourage in your mind? Right? For most people, it's that Eeyore voice. What's the point? It's just so hard. It's so tiring. Oh, God, am I ever going to get this? So you see, like, a lot of times the physiology creates or influences the voice that we're speaking to ourselves with and thinking in. And so, again, we always want to start as much as we can starting to create and take control of our physiology, right? And so let's shift that up, bring some energy in your body as much as you would like. Maybe you don't want to get all hyped up, but bring a little more energy into it from where we were. And when you get yourself into a calm, relaxed state, typically the voice is going to be more calm and relaxed, right? It's going to mirror what your body's doing. Not always, but a lot of the time. Okay. And so your body is always the most powerful way to influence your state. Because again, your feelings are literally physical, but it sends a message up to your brain about which voice you should think in. Okay. What are you thinking? Again, and once you recognize where your physiology is at and you say, okay, what am I thinking about? Again, what was the last thought I had? And if you can get that, again, you kind of extrapolate from there. What was I thinking about? What was the conversation I had? This takes a little bit of practice, right? It takes a little bit of, this is where meditation is very helpful. So if you're practicing your meditation, that's basically all you're doing is you're becoming aware of the voices in your head, you know? So again, it's very, very valuable because you'll understand that's what meditation really is. I mean, you just sit there and you're trying to quiet your mind and your mind just keeps throwing up all these different ideas and it's just chattering away and all the rest of it, but you're very quiet and you're aware of this process. And so you take some of the sting out of it a little bit because you realize, hey, thoughts come and go. They don't have to influence me. And if you practice meditation, really one of the practical benefits of it is you learn to just let go of thoughts, okay, which is another way to influence the voices. When you have a crappy voice in your head, one of the tricks you can do, if it's talking, it's like, oh man, you did, just turn that volume down, right? So it's kind of a little mind trick, but you can just literally, when you have a crappy voice in your head, you don't want to hear it, just imagine you had some person talking to you didn't like and you just turn the volume down. Well, that's the control you have over the voices in your head. Right. So again, sometimes we want to change the content. Sometimes we want to change the tone. Sometimes we just turn them right. And that's nice too. and sometimes when I do that, I always get like a physical response to that. So anyways, notice what you're thinking about, okay, and how you're thinking about it. So again, we use physiology first and then the psychology, right? Because it's harder to catch the thoughts sometimes. They're fleeting. They're quickly moving. We can't see them. It's a lot easier to say, oh man, I'm feeling kind of crappy. Where's my body at? Right. And then you notice, oh God, I'm not breathing. My shoulders are slouched. My posture is crappy. I'm looking down, the whole thing. So again, the first thing we do is shift the physiology. And then a lot of times the psychology will tend to follow that. Right. And so, again, if you cultivate a very specific, kind of hero voice, right. So, I'll create this physiology. It's calm, it's centered. And then I'll speak to myself kind of in a hero way. We can do this. We got this. You've done way harder things than this before in your life. So I start talking to myself now and I start remembering things I've overcome. And again, it's very solution oriented. And as I said, you know, tone a lot of times is more important than content. Think of it this way. The tone is almost like the physiology of your thoughts. Does that make sense? So again, we talked about the physiology, like you could be having crappy thoughts and your physiology is kind of, let's just say depressed. You're having depressed thoughts, depressed physiology. If you change the physiology, you'll feel different. And if you keep that physiology, if you keep kind of an upbeat, motivated, confident physiology, but you keep the depressive thoughts in the moment while you're able to maintain that physiology, you won't really feel depressed. If you don't change the thoughts, eventually the thoughts will come back and turn your body into a depressed vehicle. But between physiology and psychology, the physiology is more important to how you feel in the moment. So we change the physiology, we become more centered, more confident. And then what I'm saying with the thinking, when we change the tone, right? So again, if we have that bully, you could imagine if you have a bully voice, right? Say there was someone, again, an abuser, bully, jerk in your life. You think of their voice in a very biting way. You can change that. You could imagine their voice as if they just sucked on a helium balloon, right? But it's that high-pitched, squeaky voice. Well, if that happened, again, you respond differently to it. So you see what I mean? Like the tone, a lot of times, is going to change how you feel very quickly. Now, again, the content's important too, but if you change the tone, if there's a person who wronged you, or again, that you're stuck on in a negative way, it can be fun sometimes to change the quality of their voice, right? Let them talk. There used to be this girl, I think her name was like Meg Tilly. She was an actress, but she had a really, really high-pitched voice. So you could imagine that person speaking with a high-pitched voice. You could imagine them, they have funny accent, whatever. You're just changing the quality of their voice, and that sometimes can take a lot of the sting out of how you imagine them speaking. Okay, so it's just something to play around with. And again, the way we talk about ourselves, I would drive this point home. We're so mean to ourselves a lot of times because we think it's going to help us. But would you ever talk to a friend or someone you love that way? Right. So again, I just want to put that in there, because a lot of times we justify talking to ourselves as mean as possible, but you would never talk to someone you truly love that way. Right. Cause it wouldn't help them. Okay. And so you deserve better than that as well. It's not helping you either to be mean or, you know, rude to yourself. And then finally, again, ask better questions. That's always the best thing. 95% of your thoughts are in response to some question that you'd asked that you were not even aware of. And so again, this is why being solution oriented is so powerful, because the second you ask a different question, you change all the thinking that comes after it. Okay. And so again, the secret to that is be sincere. You know, so I did that a few minutes ago. The Eeyore voice can say, you know, what's the point of this? Right. And we've all said that to ourselves at one point when we felt depressed, but you can ask that in a sincere way as well. And you can say, what's the point of this? What's the point of my putting this effort into figuring out my weight and mastering it? What's the point? And then if you sincerely answer that, it's two completely different things. So being sincere with the questions you ask is very powerful. But again, you want to make sure, ideally make them solution oriented. Imagining the boardroom again, that's kind of a fun exercise to do to get aware of your voices. You can ask a question to it, and you can literally, you can ask a question yourself, and you'll feel the different responses. It's weird, but just practice it out. And so you can imagine it's a boardroom and you're the moderator, you're the CEO, and you get to decide who gets to talk when, and you can ask them questions and you can have them defend themselves. This is a very fun kind of mental exercise to do, because again, you'll take those negative voices, the Eeyore, bully, victim, you know, voices that you may have, and you start questioning them. Instead of just letting them have free reign to say whatever they want, you actually make them defend their points, expound on them. Is it true? And that's a very fun game to play. So you literally in your mind, imagine you have a boardroom, you're sitting at a big table. And again, you can imagine on one side you have the bully and the other side you have the hero, and they're hashing it out. It's a lot of fun to do that. Be empathetic, helpful, and curious. Again, just like you would be with other people. Okay. And you deserve that. And not only do you deserve it, but it's more effective. All right. That's the key thing. The beating yourself up and trashing yourself, it just doesn't work well. Right. I always joke around with my clients. I said, well, listen, if beating yourself up worked, that would make my job funner in a sense, I guess, because I just get on the phone and it just make people feel terrible. You know, then they come back the next week and say, oh my God, a great week. I felt so terrible. It doesn't work that way. Right. The worse we feel, the worse we act typically. Okay. So again, beating yourself up really, you may be addicted to it even, but it's just not helpful. Okay. So, again, be nicer to yourself. And I think you'll find that your results, can improve tremendously. Okay. So that wraps that up. Cool. All right. Let's see. The jerks. Oh my God. Too many of those jerks. Yeah, we all do. Right. And on top of that, by the way, the jerk thing is not only jerks, but we weight them, right? So it's like in your life, if you met 10 hero awesome people in your life and you met 3 jerks, the jerks you'd think about all the time, 90% just the way we're wired, right? So it's true. Oh, there you go, Connie, right? So this is what I mean. So she wrote, oh yeah, the bully said, Right. So that's what, that's another key thing. I should have written that down. That's a good one. We had these key phrases we say to ourselves. They're almost like mantras, negative. And so that's really good, Connie. Yeah, just right? And so yeah, we screw up and we didn't do what we said we're gonna do, and then that crappy voice gets in our head and says, you know, oh, why don't you just quit or just make up your mind? Are you serious? You're not serious? Whatever. That's great. If the phrases you say to yourself, oh, that is gold, and that's a bit. I mean, when you can recognize those, because those phrases are like a button, and it's like you say them, and it's like pushing a button to feel like crap. But you can have two. So that's really good. I'm glad you said that. In addition, the types of voices we have, yes, recognize the phrases that you say to yourself. There's not going to be a lot of them. And if you can identify the 3 to 4 of them that suck, then you can work on changing those that well. So that's great. Connie Analyst, is there any other place you can go to read that doesn't have croissants? That's a great one. And that's a good one. I have actually thought that there's basically, there's two places a couple miles of me. And so I literally, I have through that. And so I just like that place sometimes. It's probably because I like the croissants too. Hey, that's so good. So there you go. The analyst is real helpful. Okay, Ray, Pat, that's a good one. Oh, you did so well today. You deserve a treat. Right? So that's a good one too. This lesson. That's a voice I didn't put in and I should have. And kind of used to this too, kind of the granny. I should call that the granny voice, right? Where it's like, oh, come on, right? You did so good today. Yeah, you should have something sweet, right? So that's so good. I got to write that down. The granny voice. That's what I'm going to call that. And so with granny, you don't want to be mean to her, right? But like, granny, yeah, I know, you know, but there's other ways, you know, that's what you bring the analyst in. You know, is there any other treats, any other way I could reward myself? so that's so good. You guys are on fire tonight, so that's a good one. Yeah, you just, but Pat, so that's good, right? Because that's the programming. You see what I mean? Like, if you think of your mind, our minds not, they're not computers. We don't think, we're not computer programmed. Good metaphor sometimes to think. And so you'll realize, like, you have these phrases you say to you, oh man, you did so good today. You deserve a treat, right? And so say you say that to yourself every day around 5 o'clock, right? So that is priming you to have a treat at night. So that is, we talk about in Program Yourself Thin, right? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? So that kind of mindset, we want to be preventative. So when we can recognize ourselves at 5 o'clock that lead to the 8 o'clock snap, can 5 o'clock phrase and hopefully prevent snack, as opposed to say the 5 o'clock phrase and kind of prime ourselves and unconsciously be expecting a treat at 8 o'clock. And so then at 8 o'clock, we're just expecting that we're gonna have a bunch of willpower to stop ourselves. And so when you can recognize these things you're saying to yourself, again, you're not going to have the solution right away, you know, but it's like if you keep working at it, you will find, you'll find phrases that are, I refer to them as antidotes, you know, and they don't always work. Like I get the croissant one, by the way. I walk in there. It's funny. I know if I'm going to get that croissant 95% before I even walk in there. And what it comes down to a lot of times is if I'm being aware or not. If I'm just running on autopilot, I'll probably get it. I'm not running on autopilot. What I'm doing is I'm walking into that coffee shop. I am thinking to myself, okay, Jim, last time you had a croissant, you finished it, you felt kind of full. You felt like in your stomach, you felt more lethargic, and you wished that you hadn't gotten it. You see what I mean? So I'm saying that to my, so again, I'm trying to prevent it, you know, as opposed to just relying on willpower when I get in there. But so that's great. If I'm stressed out, my mother would say, here, this sweet thing will make you feel good, Lord, right? The granny voice. Good job, guys. I love that. So what do you say to the granny voice? I haven't really thought about this, but yeah, again, you want to be nice to, because that was one of the hardest ones for me, I would say, is my mom, she was not supportive. When I'd start changing my lifestyle up to be healthier, obviously she wants me to be healthy, but at the same time, expressed a lot of love through food, right? It made me fat. You know, how do you deal with that? We all got to deal with that on some level. And so I'm going to give you to do is I want you, you are aware of it now. Okay. So that's awesome, you guys, because now you're aware. Okay. I got this voice. I say to myself, here's this sweet thing to make you feel better. Oh, here's this other thing I say to myself when I've had a tough day. So these are two phrases. I would write these down and I would work on solutions to them. And what the solution's going to be, let yourself be, what else could I say to myself? How else could I think about this? Statement still true? Is it true every day? Should I just make it a special occasion? Right? So again, you want to kind of get into this golden, because now you've got an awareness of things you're saying to yourself that's leading to the behavior. Okay. So again, I can't tell you how important that is. So that's awesome. Yeah. Our mood and yeah, they're pretty much the same thing. Mood and state are basically, remember this, right? It's the physiology and the psychology. And so, you know, I think they're the same thing. I think, people refer specifically your body and your mind, mood. Sometimes I think people think of more in terms of just, you know what I mean? Like, but always think about them as both, because they're intertwined, and the physiology is more the physiology. Remember this, right? You can't feel, you can have a thought and it could influence your physiology, but you can only feel things through your body. Okay. And so, that's really, really important to remember. It's to the point where you want to change your mood or your state. You really want to lead with your physiology. Okay. And then go into the psychology, but yeah, they're the same thing. In my opinion. How can anyone turn down baklava? True story, right? It is. It's good. I will tell you one thing I say, and this is the internal voice, and this is the analyst that's helped me so much. One of the most impactful things voice-wise in my head that I say to myself on a regular basis is I think to myself, oh, okay, hey, there's baklava. And I will look at it. And this is key. This will be helpful to you guys. I'll look at it and I'll think about it. Now, when we think about that baklava in front of us, we can think about it in a couple different ways. One way is we can think about the anticipation and the consumption. And that's typically how people think about treats and food, right? There's the anticipation, which is very enjoyable and exciting, and the eating it, right? That tastes good, actually. But then there's the consequence phase, right? And again, I'm not saying eating baklava, it's pretty much fine. You know what I mean? Sometimes in its place. However, when you start thinking to yourself, should I eat that? You got to recognize, am I thinking about the anticipation and consumption phase, or am I thinking about the consequence phase? That's a huge distinction. And that's a voice that I've really developed in my mind, where when I'm deciding what I'm going to eat, even when I'm really hungry now, I do this, I think to myself, how am I going to feel when I'm done? And that's been very, very helpful to me. Okay. And so I would suggest you do that. So even, you know, even with the treats and things, again, you may have this one voice that says, oh, you worked hard, you deserve this. You can also add to that, again, in a debate style, metaphorically, if you think debate style, you got the one side saying, oh man, you worked so hard today, you really deserve this treat. The other side, you could have a voice that says, I do deserve the treat. However, how will I feel an hour from now, you know, after I finished it? How will I feel physically? How will I feel mentally? And how will I feel emotionally? How will I feel tomorrow morning when I wake up and I reflect on what I did last night? Will I feel excited, motivated, and invigorated, or will I feel frustrated and irritated with myself for what I did? Okay. So again, that's a way to use the voice and utilize it. Yeah, you're right, Pat, 100%, right? It's hard to be depressed or upset if you're smiling. That's so true that that's literally, they've done studies with clinically depressed people in psychiatric wards, and they have them smile at themselves in the mirror. And I forget now if it's like 60 minutes, I think, a day. And it literally, literally helped them, you know? So absolutely. And the, you know, the smiling thing, right? So the smiling thing is even more powerful if, you add the voices to it as well. And by the way, the voice that goes along with that smile is the gratitude work, right? So, Pat, I don't know, Pat, if you've seen this yet. It should be on the page there on your page. When you go to the weekly calls, if you scroll down, and it might be on your normal page, but it's look for the gratitude journal lesson I did. It was a few weeks ago, but if you get a chance, watch that. because if you get a chance to do that, it's very powerful. What it does really, when you do a gratitude journal or you start getting grateful for stuff, you're basically developing another voice in your head. And it goes along with a smile. So you're really building like a super weapon. You can smile, you can change your physiology, and you have the psychology of gratitude to go along with it that's really reinforcing that physiology. Now it's all sugar. I've made it, and that syrup is more than honey. Yeah, absolutely. Right. That's totally true, Connie. I know. You see, I do that, right? I forget. I feel like I'm with my family because I'm always downgrading. I know a lot about food and I eat really clean. So it's like, I basically, what do they call that? Self-deprecating. I'm almost like self-deprecating with the food. But so yeah, I don't eat baklava very often exactly for that reason. Plus of the pastry and it's okay in its place, but, yeah, you know how it is. So thank you for reminding me that, Connie. And I shouldn't do that on these calls. Cool. Yeah, Pat, use the debate thing. It's really powerful. Like I said, you don't have to eliminate the negative voice. That's not what you need to do. You do need to balance it out more. Okay. And so stand up to it. So awesome. Hey, great job, guys. You guys are leaving some really good stuff. The granny voice, right? I'm going to add that to the slide because that's a really good one. I just do a whole lesson on that one, huh? Because that might be the most... That voice, the bully voice is probably the worst because it makes us feel so crappy, but the granny voice is sneaky. So that was a good one. So I appreciate that. You guys, yeah, great points tonight. So that was awesome. So all right, everyone, have a great week. And think about this. Again, that's the idea here. These weekly calls is, again, it's kind of break it down. So this week here, just kind of focus on the voices, what you're thinking in your head, the internal dialogue. Gain some awareness on it. Even some of the things you guys have written down so far are really, really valuable. Again, recognize the phrases you say to yourself, you know, and the different things and what mood they put you in and how they justify or program you to act a certain way. You know, that awareness is super, super helpful. So super job. All right, guys, have a great week. And we will talk next Tuesday night. Good night, everyone.